Hello? No one says it. Thank you, Godmother Man.
Well, hi, everybody, and welcome to our final seminar. Remember, we're going to have a discussion that we can go past the top of the hour, about 10 or 15 minutes. If you have questions, things you'd like to discuss or clarify or just talk about in terms of what we've been discussing this seminar series. For right now, any questions or clarifications as we move into our final seminar? And I want to ask again if you'll manage the background noise by remaining on mute until you're ready to speak, because you're not hearing the ambient noise that your microphone picks up. Questions or comments or things that you want to be sure that we address prior to the end of our last seminar today?
Hey, Dave. This is Jose in San Antonio. I have a question.
Welcome. Hey, just down the Pike a little bit from Houston here. Go ahead.
Yeah, yeah. So listen, I just wanted to know, how long will the recordings be available to us after our completion of our sessions?
I believe CTA keeps them up for 30 days past the last day of the seminar. So for one more month.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
You bet. Absolutely. What else?
Hi, Dr. Kruger. It's Lynn here. I really appreciate your...
I'll keep talking to you if you call me Dave.
Okay, I know.
All right, then. Go ahead.
All right. Are they on a website, the recordings? How do you dial them in to hear them? Because I've missed...
Remember the link that you were sent by CTA that had the outline and the workbook? There are four ports there that the recordings are posted within 24 hours, and you just click on that and play it online, and you can fast forward and that sort of thing. Same
awesome.
Link for everything.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Okay,
I appreciate
you bet. Thanks. Who else? Questions, clarifications, things that you want to be sure we address in our final seminar? We're going to be talking about the last two steps of the roadmap system, and then just some aspects of application of that and ways that hopefully it will be useful to you. But I'm interested in your questions, your thoughts, and what you're taking away.
Yeah, hi, Dave. This is Bonita.
Hey, welcome. How are you, Bonita? Great to hear from
you. Yeah, God is good. Just struggling through this, but the recordings have been awesome to follow up on days when I couldn't really connect in, but I feel like I've been plugged in and implementing this with a few patients. Something maybe I didn't know whether it was appropriate to ask you here or maybe just on the coach the site to use the new product with a client. We have
when you say the new product, help me know what you're referring to.
Oh, I'm sorry, the roadmap revised that you sent us for this training?
You mean the workbook?
The workbook, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good question. The workbook is for use for people who have done the licensed specialty certification training. It can be co-branded and used by clients, but not just taking it from this application and using it without the licensed specialty certification. But I have been asked by a few of you about that training. I will send some information. I didn't want to mix the two up, but I'll send some information about that. But you're already licensed and specially certified, so you can use the workbook. We can co-brand it, put your name on the cover and a new first page for your message and contact information, and set it up so that it'll all be digital, and so your clients can get it digitally, and you can benefit by having them have it immediately, plus an affiliate.
That's what I wanted to do, and we'll talk about that. I didn't want to take the
time
now.
Okay, yeah, that's totally available.
Thank you, that's awesome.
Let me know. Yeah, we'll set that up.
Cool.
And this is Danny Bedoni, and piggybacking on what Benita just said, which is a great question, how can you copy us, Dave, in this email, how we can work on that? And after the course of today, if we have any questions, can we contact you with any of to follow through?
Yes, I will send the information to each of you as a preferred group with a kind of a personal invitation, because I only train a certain number of people each year with a single cohort, and because I spend a good deal of time with marketing and other kinds of help. But yes, this will be a preferred group. I'll send that. It'll take me just a day or two to put that together, because you'll have first look and first right of refusal at those seats. So yes, I'll definitely send that. So thanks. And if you have questions about it, you'll be able to fire them back with an email. Does that answer your question, Danny?
Yes, thank you
so
much.
This is
wonderful. Thank you.
Great. You bet. Other questions, other clarifications before we move into the final material?
So this is Kimberly, Dr. Kruger, and Kimberly, actually Kimberly Bonita, that's my name also. But I'm trying to make certain that so after we've completed this series, we can sign up for the more extensive, a general coaching course.
Yes, it's a licensed specialty certification training for New Life Story mm-hmm. wellness coaches. I'll send information about
Excellent.
That, and this group will
okay.
have first priority and first shot at the seats. So yes.
Thank you.
It's a combination of online, and then I do some discussion mentor groups. So yeah, you'll see all of that, and I'll be sure that it's going out within a couple of days.
Excellent.
As
Thank
you're
you.
Listening to this final seminar, jot down any questions or any thoughts you have, any things that didn't get answered or that you want to discuss more. As I mentioned, we'll tack on 10 or 15 minutes at the end for discussion to be sure that we're really addressing the questions that you have and that the things that you mentioned in the initial email to me about what you'd most like to get out of the course and what you would find it doing if it were totally successful for you, because those comments really helped me to fashion and shape some of the discussion, and I want to be sure we cover everything that you've submitted, and I appreciate that, and that's been very beneficial. Plus, think about when you offer something, think about how that began the process before it started. Those are the same two questions you ask a client. What would you most like to focus on, and where would you like to get to? Those two questions were fashioned from those two, but think about how you may do that when you offer a sample session to a potential client, when you establish the time that the client will call you or that you'll connect virtually. Let them know that it will give us both the best idea of what it would be like to work together in professional coaching if you have a specific agenda, a specific thing you want to focus on, and an idea of where you'd like to get to with it. So the process begins right there, and then it continues when you actually have the contact with that person, and by framing it in that way, you optimize the possibility of effectiveness of both of you together collaborating to be sure that you're focusing on what the client wants to, since they've owned the story by determining what they want to focus on and created the map with you of where they'd like to get to. Same here. When you began answering those questions, you were already in the mindset of thinking about wellness coaching and what you want to get, where you want to get to. So think about if that was helpful to you, how you may want to adapt that process for what you do, whether with an individual or with a group. So I'm going to move us to lecture mode now, and I'll reserve some time at the end and then our add-on time. Okay, we've discussed the power of story and the concept of creating your own wellness story. We've looked together at how different this notion of creating your own story is from fitting into someone else's protocol, or simply adding a plan or an exercise program to what you do, or having somebody give you the answers. We've discussed the first five steps in the roadmap for a new wellness story. Recognize authorship. Own your story, assess the plot and storylines, decide what to change, and map changes. Now, in the final two steps, 6 and 7, we'll address how to create new wellness experiences and identity. And again, these 7 steps are just the deconstruction of change. The 7 steps to understand a story or to revise a current one. So basically, this is understanding the algorithms of how someone constructs their own story. And remember this. This is just a preface. This story construction is the job description of the brain. Your client's brains are already constructing the story. Understanding the story is the job description of the mentor coach. Co-creation of a new system is the job of the collaborative alliance of coach and client. So, step six, author new experiences. This is putting it in an output channel. We trust our stories. They're our reality. When our stories and our behaviors don't fit, we experience disharmony. So we have to change one or the other to restore harmony. Sometimes we revise our stories. Sometimes we just change the way we see reality. Now, we've considered if your wellness story doesn't allow you to do certain things, if your story is that you're a procrastinator, it'll disallow you from finishing early. If your story says you don't know how to work out, you'll live out that assumption. So at first, the idea of change will create excitement. Then, as it's on the cusp of action, perhaps anxiety, then expansion, and then finally, mastery. So here are some AAA principles of change to author a new story. The AAA principles, awareness, acceptance, and action. One, you're writing your own story. Is it working? For each component, what are the results? Honestly assess each of these storylines with the question, is it working? And make that a yes or no. Your personal wellness story, mind, body, spirit. Your business or career story. Your relationship story. Your money story. When I ask people what they most look forward to and what they're most afraid of for the next chapters of their lives, they often respond with vague dreams, yet specific fears. The top of the list of long-term concerns across the board for people, health and money. A not-so-secret to success is you have to pay in full for that success. So you might as well find out what the price is, pay it in full, pay it as soon as possible, and then enjoy the benefits of success. The price is always some form of energy, whether that energy is money, time, work, experience. If you get something for which you haven't provided value or benefit, you'll still have to pay in some way. If you incur debt, for example, in order to purchase something before you've earned the money, you simply end up paying more for it. And here's another non-secret. People who truly enjoy getting what they want find a way to enjoy paying the price. The price is whatever you need to give in order to generate exactly what you want. Two, you're writing your own story. It takes just as much energy to create any belief in your story, positive or negative, based on past, present, and future, adaptive or maladaptive, the same energy. The belief in scarcity takes just as much energy as the belief in abundance. You generate the energy and give power to your story and your focus. Here's the subtle but crucial distinction. You give specific power to your story, and then it assumes its own momentum. And remember, you're not the subject of that process, or even the victim of it. You're the author of it, the creator of it. Here's a short list of some results when you focus on what you don't want. Fear, anxiety, anger, confusion, annoyance, helplessness, guilt. Three, you're writing your own story. Decide what you want. The primary reason people don't get what they want is they're not quite sure what they want. Here's a neuroscience and law of attraction question. How does the brain work like a travel agent? At least remember in the old days when there used to be travel agents. The first two questions a travel agent asks, where do you want to go? When do you want to get there? And a goal is like MapQuest. You program where you want to go, make a map, and determine the time. Now, a caveat here. To know what not to do is at least as important as knowing what to do. you may not always know what the next right thing is, but you can almost always know what it isn't. And what you resist, you draw toward you. Resistance is an engagement. For example, anger is as passionate an attachment as love. And most suffering is the result of resisting what already is. People resist going to the doctor, but they aren't afraid of doctors. They're afraid their denial is going to get confronted. 4, you're writing your own story. Do you have specific measurable goals? In a Harvard study begun in the mid-1950s, 10 to 15% of the Harvard Business School graduates fashioned a vision and specific goals for their life in business. 5 decades later, that same 10 to 15% had 90% of the assets of the entire group. A similar study at Dartmouth subsequently, and the statistics were even more so. 3% had very specific goals. They ended up with 97% of the assets of the entire group. And that was a broader study of undergraduates. Motivation increases as soon as you're clear about the goal and the payoff. Focus actually enhances when you have a specific plan and energy. I'd suggest reviewing from the workbook the exercise 11 Steps to Ignite Success. It begins on page 3.6. It's estimated, for example, that less than 10% of people have measurable goals. 100% of people have good ideas, at least some. The difference between a good idea and a goal, measurement and time. Where and when, the travel agent questions. Here's a good idea. I'd like to lose weight. Here's a goal. I will reach 185 pounds by my birthday this year on July 16th. Here's a good idea. I want to save more money for retirement. Here's a goal. I will pay myself first by setting up an automatic transfer of $300 to my retirement fund from my checking account the first day of each month from now on. Then write a breakthrough goal, something that would stretch you, bring incredible opportunities, move you to a higher level, a quantum leap, getting a book on the New York Times bestseller list, spending every March skiing in Steamboat Springs, and every October writing at an old Creole home in the French Quarter in New Orleans, but you'll have to substitute your own goals there. Then reread your goals, regular and breakthrough, twice a day, when you wake up and when you go to bed. 5, you're writing your own story. Small changes lead to big changes. Issues that may seem overwhelmingly large and insurmountable can be approached by looking at the simplicity of the issue to specify a step to make for progress. For example, you feel overwhelmed at work with the amount of tasks, identify one specific thing that you can do in the next 24 hours that'll give you some traction, or ideally, when you hang up the phone. This focus on a simple, specific action creates a sense of effectiveness and initiates a model of mastery. That's what we're doing with clients, is establishing a model that they can use to apply beyond the focus of the immediate. Here's an example. I know a couple of you have heard this. Terry Fox started the Marathon of Hope. It's a cross-Canada run of 3,339 miles. Since he had an artificial leg, his running style was a shuffle and a hop. He managed, though, to average 24 miles a day, completed the run in 143 days. He was interviewed immediately after the race and asked how he kept himself going when he must have been exhausted and knew he still had thousands of miles ahead. His response, I just kept running to the next telephone pole. Now, he knew where the poles ended at the end of the Marathon of Hope, but all he did was focus on the next telephone pole. So, divide up your work. Focus on and complete one thing at a time. there's always something you can focus on. Sometimes what may look like resistance for a client is simply not knowing what the next step is. Here's an example of focusing on one thing. During my specialty training in psychiatry, one of my first-year supervisors had a really puzzling picture on the wall. It was a photograph, and everything just seemed curiously out of focus. I met with him every week, got a glance at the photograph. Finally, toward the end of the year, I asked him about it. Well, he said, "Look carefully, Dave. What do you see?" Well, I walked over to the photograph to get a closer look. Closer didn't help. It still seemed out of focus. I saw no particular aesthetic value. I had experience and considerable interest in photography. That didn't help. "Steve," I said, "the only thing I notice, there's only one branch or one tree in focus in the entire picture." And he nodded. He said, "That's why I have it hanging there. It's my reminder that while things may seem confusing and blurry, there's always at least one thing you can have in focus and see clearly." Which is why he was a great supervisor for first-year residents. 6, you're writing your own story. Be consistent in the pursuit of your goals. It takes usually for simple behaviors 25 to 30 days to etch a new pathway in your brain to make it permanent. Write your story consistently for it to become the default mode. Overall wellness is not based on some big monumental choice, but on little things. If you plan to run 30 minutes on the treadmill 6 days a week, but after 10 get off, convinced that you're a little stiff today, it's one small choice, no big deal. But then it makes it a little bit easier to do next time, and you have to pay for that with the memory of not having the resilience to stick to your plan. Remember, all you have to do, you don't have to be motivated. All you have to do is have a plan and stick to it. And no one experienced a heart attack because of 20 minutes less on the treadmill on one day. Yet our wellness is the cumulative result of thousands of such choices, seemingly innocuous or even rationalized away or justified into oblivion. 7, you're writing your own story. The benefit of doing more of what's working and less of what isn't working will become evident and self-perpetuating. Now, this is all really simple. Good parents have known this for centuries, but sometimes it takes human science and cognitive research to remind us of the obvious. We can foster change by conscious practices and effective tools. An infinite sea of new patterns and possibilities can be created to further new goals. The caveat, you have to take action to diminish pre-programmed responses, to write new script for new experiences. A new story has to replace the old one. This is what we may not talk about enough in coaching. The learning and the unlearning, those have to be combined with new experiences. And there are no shortcuts, since long-term change requires consistent practice, repetition, to groove new neuronal pathways and establish new neural networks. But there are effective and efficient methods to accelerate optimum change and ensure transformation. This is where we, as catalysts, as mentor coaches, come into play. 8, you're writing your own story. Ask for feedback. To your spouse or partner, ask, on a scale of 1 to 10, rate the quality of our relationship. But you got to be ready for the answer now. If you do this, you can get direct feedback and learn what you can address. To your employees or your colleagues, on a scale of 1 to 10, how am I doing? Then, how can I get to 10? A tribe in southern Africa called the Babemba has an interesting practice. When they hear a story of a person doing something wrong, something that destroys the social net of their tight community, all work in the village halts. The people gather around the offender and one by one recite all that that person has done right in his life: good deeds, responsible behavior, thoughtful acts. This honest and explicit feedback on misbehavior has a time-honored consequence to allow the person with honor to reclaim the better part of himself. He remembers who he is and why he is important to the life of the village. This may have been an original 360-degree feedback. Even without this kind of social network and feedback, we can relax and remember our way back into alignment with our true selves. We can get centered and reconnect with our true essence. So, find people who already successfully do what you want to do and get what you want. Research what they do in order to do your own version of it. It has to be your story. Ask, learn, question. Always make it your story. Guess who said this? It's not that I'm so smart. It's that I stay with problems longer. That was me and Albert Einstein who said that. Now, here's an interesting statistic. After giving a complete presentation about the benefits of their service or product, more than 60% of the time, salespeople simply forget to ask for the order. How to ask is a crucial factor. Ask clearly, confidently, sincerely. And remember, when you make a recommendation for your professional coaching service, you're not selling, you're not asking for anything. You're making a professional recommendation. So I'm talking about feedback here. Here's an example. Virginia Satir, the well-known family therapist, was hired by the Michigan State Department of Social Services to submit a proposal on how to restructure the Department of Social Services to better serve the client population. 60 days later, she provided the department with a 150-page report. They gave her feedback in two ways. This is the most amazing report. And how did you come up with all these brilliant ideas? She said, well, I just asked all the social workers in your department what it would take for the system to work better. Now, you may have noticed each of these AAA principles of change to author a new story begins the same way. You're writing your own story. That's the first four steps of the roadmap. Recognize, observe, assess, and decide, compressed into the shorthand of awareness and acceptance. The third A, these 12 action steps that we're talking about. You're right, nine. You're writing your own story. Get success insurance instead of waiting for good luck. Luck is defined as probability taken personally, or, my own favorite, narcissism meets chance. A review of research on goal setting, this is on page 3.5 in your workbook, helps us, and this was done in the realm of professional coaching, Marshall Goldsmith, helps us understand two essential components, why people give up on goals, and if we flip that around, how effective this can be to help ensure success to know the reasons that people don't usually achieve it. 10, you're writing your own story. Take a chance. You didn't have a New York Times bestseller before you sent your manuscript to an agent. If you get it rejected, you still don't. What do you got to lose? What's the problem? You've spent your whole life not having a New York Times bestseller. A young chiropractor just out of professional school wanted to open a practice in Carmel, California. He was told repeatedly he'd never make it. There's already one chiropractor for every 8 people in Carmel. He went to 12,500 homes and talked to 6,500 people. He asked 3 questions. Which location should I open my office, the north or west side of town? Should I have extra office hours from 7 to 9 in the morning or 5 to 7 in the afternoon? And which newspaper should I advertise in? He also asked as he was leaving, when I have an open house party, would you like an invitation? In his first month, he took in $72,500. In his first year, he netted over $1 million. 11. You're writing your own story. It's never too late to start. Don't let conventional wisdom or limiting assumptions ghostwrite your story. Cliff Beon was a 61-year-old Australian sheep herder. He heard about a cross-country race from Sydney to Melbourne and decided to enter. He showed up in Oshkosh overalls and work boots. The officials looked at him like he was crazy. They said, "This is a race of over 800 kilos. The most seasoned runners in the world compete. Do you have any running experience and equipment?" He said, "Yeah, I run after my sheep every day, and I got these boots and this baseball cap." Well, when the race began, the world-class runners took off as they were trained to begin. Cliff started shuffling along in his boots. "You're supposed to run 18 hours and sleep 6 day after day." But nobody told Cliff this, so when the other runners were sleeping, he just kept shuffling along. He shuffled along and cut 5.5 hours off the world record. We may each have beliefs that limit us. Find the story that will improve you and start believing that. If there were no barriers, what would your ideal life be? And 12, you're writing your own story. Everything is okay in the end. If it's not okay, it's not the end. For tens of thousands of years, before books and computers, we transmitted our essence and principles by story. Story linked to the past, organized the present, illuminated the future. Story allowed us to connect with each other's humanity and the paths crossed on the long journeys out of Africa to populate the rest of the world. Then the anatomy and physiology of our brains grew by putting thoughts and feelings into stories. Stories informed, instructed, inspired, governed, organized. Remember, story is the job description of the brain. Story is the most powerful way humans communicate. Stories give birth to possibility. Stories are a way that we resonate with our earlier selves, connect with others, and create a roadmap to proceed. Your story is yourself, your life, and what will survive you. At some point in the distant future, all that will be left of you, all that will survive you, is your story. Be sure to get it right. Step 7. Program new identity to incorporate and sustain the changes. Let's look at revisiting the concept of operating systems. Behavioral patterns and belief systems downloaded especially from parents in the first years of life become automatic to operate without observation or even awareness. Neuroscientists estimate that 90 to 95% of our behaviors, core beliefs, all of our patterns of attachment, emotion, and behavior are pre-programmed in the unconscious mind and operate on autopilot. So what that means, and this is what you may want to listen for, we create two stories simultaneously at times. The surface story. This is what I want from life. This is my conscious focus. These are my goals. Yet that's 5 to 10% of that operating system. At the same time, if there is a shadow story that goes in the opposite direction based on beliefs, assumptions, unconscious biases, other things that are in that operating system, then it may oppose the surface story. So here's how that shadow story can sound, whether or not it's conscious. "Well, I can't really get what I want," or "The system keeps me from doing what I need. I don't think I have what it takes." Or, "What if I put all of myself into this and then failed, and then I'd be really embarrassed?" Or, "You know, I say I want to generate greater income and create wealth, but I don't think that's really spiritual." Many compromises occur when two stories are written simultaneously and they go in opposite directions. So let's look at clarifying a mission statement for yourself. In business, a mission statement is a statement of an organization's primary purpose, the strategies to achieve that purpose and its fundamental values. There are four elements. Ideals, the core values that motivate and guide you. purpose, what you want to accomplish. Strategy, the art and science of a plan of action. And goals, you're familiar with goals, SMART goals, specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, time-bound. So create a personal mission statement. What is your purpose? What are you meant to do? This is a compass that can guide your life and your wellness story to personal fulfillment. Write yours down. Read it every day. Incorporate it into your wellness story. So here are some thoughts about creating a state of mind and how much mindset really matters. Because what we're talking about with any new information, when we get new information or hear data in any way, what we naturally do without being consciously aware of it is, if it fits with our belief, we search for a reason to confirm it. If it doesn't fit with what we already believe, we may ignore or discredit it or search for reasons to refute it. And when we do, then here's the zinger, we stop actively questioning. This is what we do in coaching, is to listen for premature closure, listen for clients who put a period and you need to convert it to a comma. What do you think about that way of looking at it? What else? Is there more? Our models create the experience of our reality. Now, this is what I often hear with people I do training. How much do we have to explore the past or explore our unconscious? The answer is none. Every algorithm, and remember, an algorithm is simply a finite series of steps to solve a problem or to enhance performance. So remember when we talked about what we need to do in coaching? If you want to change, if you want to create a new habit, if you want to change a habit, focus on the system. The system, you know, simply looks at how we think about constructing our stories, our algorithms. Every algorithm will be revealed in present thought, feeling, and behavior. We do not have to explore our unconscious. Emotional, behavioral, and attachment patterns reveal unconscious operating systems. So that means that we simply need to focus on the essential steps of positive framing. Two simple components. Choose an optimum mindset that fits the task, because that focus on what you want to do will also include disregarding things that don't fit, disregarding interference. Here's an example of how focus can be so effective. When a soccer player focuses on the part of the net, the specific square of the net where the ball will go, it enhances the effectiveness of the kick significantly. In the boardroom, when the executive focuses on the mindset of confidence and positive points to be made, effectiveness enhances significantly. So this is really the importance of mindset, because mindset determines behavior, and then behavior determines performance. So focus becomes the essential step of positive framing. And this is significantly related to effectiveness of performance. So let's look at the aspect of choice enhancement. Increased tension can produce emotional regression. Stress means that parts of the brain that usually work together in harmony and synchrony don't quite work as well together. So stress can move someone into a more emotional, into an emotional pattern that's more characteristic of stress or even an earlier age. In fact, what we know now about performance success and good and bad decisions, and this is a study from a number of leaders across a number of different industries. Whenever bad decisions are made, it's usually for one of two reasons. Emotions link to past experiences and skew current decision making. And or some model from the past is used and applied in the present when it's been outdated. In psychoanalysis, this is called transference, that a model that was tailor-made for the past is used currently and is simply outdated, so it just doesn't work quite as well anymore. So let's look then at change and transition. The brain is a really effective machine, and it doesn't waste energy. Simplicity is to take the path of least resistance, to use neurons already familiar with the task. The brain inclines toward repeating the old story. So to think creatively, new neural pathways must be developed outside the cycle of usual experience. And stimulation for new insight is a circumstance where the brain can't predict what will happen next. The catalyst for insight, this is exactly what we specialize in, new information or a new context. So the change is the event, the situation. You change your behavior, move to a new city, have a baby, take a new job. As we focus on change, we address the actual content, the rituals of change, the work tools, the SMART goals. The transition, though, is the process. It's the internal story of change, a shift in orientation, even self-definition, the P here of the roadmap. As you create change and embrace the actual transition and let go of the old story, the outlived chapter, and evolve to the new story, program new identity to internalize the changes. In other words, as you're working with a client, each time there's a transition in that model of how and who someone sees themselves as, what they do, how they look at new things, highlight that, because that transition of the working model, the foundation of identity, is what makes that change permanent. So here are the most frequent mistakes made in writing a new wellness story. One, not knowing you don't know. Well, now how can people know that they don't know something? We believe what we know, which may blind us to our ignorance. This, in turn, causes us to be blind to signs that we may be mistaken. To know to ask is half the answer. Two, stopping at the first right answer. When we're solving problems or writing a new story, we may stop at the first reasonable action. Now, this may be a correct strategy, but it could also stop us from considering other right answers, other correct strategies could be even more effective. So ask yourself, and then what? Or what else? I want to introduce number three with a brief quiz. Five frogs sat on a log. They all considered their options. Four, though, planned their strategy, and they decided they would jump off. So how many frogs were left on the log? Well, five were left because they only planned and decided. They didn't commit to act. Number three is procrastination. I'm talking about some of the broad themes here, the big patterns, putting off an exercise program, not paying yourself first, not saving for emergencies, not saving for retirement, taking care of others but not yourself. Most of us live our lives as though there were an unlimited amount of time left. we may have little sense of urgency, and that can contribute to a lack of focus. When the two-minute warning sounds in football, a team sometimes achieves more in that final 2 minutes than they did in the previous 28. Well, except the Houston Texans, of course. This imminent deadline, a limited, finite amount of time to accomplish goals, focuses concentration and increases effort. In our lives, we only rarely have a two-minute warning. We play as if the notion of finite time is an abstraction, something we acknowledge but seem not to internalize. Life is finite. It's just that the game clock is invisible. 4. Inefficient energy management. Managing energy can be a key to success. It begins with knowing your strengths and limitations, your biorhythms, your biological cycles, when you perform best, and creating a system to apply all that. Know how to enter and exit various states of mind and which work best for a particular task. A simple example, writing and editing, two different states of mind, two different parts of the brain to be done at different times, not to mix them. Cluster activities that require the same state of mind, like putting all your errands together at the same time, or returning all calls between 4 and 4:30 every day rather than letting somebody else decide when you're disrupted and you suddenly have to stop what you're doing, focus, engage, and then triple work. Identify what enhances your energy, anticipation, creativity, pleasure, meditation, prayer, whatever it is specifically for you. Identify what depletes your energy, toxic people, or situations, negative mindset, lack of focus. Those of you who have done CTA training with me will recall that for most of the classes, I began in the first class recommending that each person Google intuitive empath, I-N-T-U-I-T-I-V-E, empath, E-M-P-A-T-H, to read one of the first two or three articles that search will show, and to read about yourself, because every one of you listening right now are intuitive empaths, my bet is. All of us are. So look especially at the kinds of things you will need to preserve your energy and especially insulate yourself from toxicity, because so many people, because of you being giving and loving, caring, nurturing, and naturally empathic, will want something from you, and they are all too ready to make withdrawals from your emotional bank account. So you have to find ways to protect yourself and to take care of yourself first to optimally take care of others. And 5, ambiguity. If you're unclear about what options are available, don't know what it would be like to pursue them, especially since you haven't done it before, this uncertainty can add to decision paralysis. And again, what looks like resistance may be simply a lack of clarity of the next step. People are more likely to change when new behavior is clear, specific, and defined. Eating a healthier diet. That's vague and abstract. The possibilities of eat better or save for the future are limitless. More, later, those are all vague terms. When you want to affect change, script specific behaviors or help your client script specific behaviors. 6, too many choices. Some studies show how, for example, an HR department or individual investment advisor can provide too many choices and the extra options backfire and lead to decision paralysis. For every 10 options offered, the rate of participation goes down by 2%. So at some point, choice debilitates rather than liberates, and somebody retreats to the default mode of not making a choice. I mean, we all remember looking at how much we have to do and deciding, well, I'm going to take a nap. Well, that's a self-statement, but insert your own mode there. 7, lack of persistence. The truly challenging, courageous part of change is not the initial decision or the initiation of a new order of things. It's the resilience, the willingness to stay the course. Ross Perot said, most people give up when they're about to achieve success. They quit on the 1-yard line. We hear advocates of that regularly on CNN, MSNBC, advocating, don't spike the ball on the 5-yard line. Keep doing COVID precautions. We're not done yet. We're not across the finish line. Don't give up yet. 8, not following success trails. Now, we've talked about the wellness story from the perspective of cells, mind, brain, and story. Now, a final word about genes. Epigenetics is the study of the ways in which our experiences change the ways genes operate. Our experiences program how active our genes will be. There's a difference, for example, between having a gene and that gene expressing its signature proteins to have a particular effect. Of our more than 30,000 genes, some express themselves constantly, some only at a particular time in life, some only for certain organs of the body, some only at certain behavioral or emotional prompts. We now know this. Our genes and our environment, including our behavior, are reliant on each other. What we do as well as what we eat can turn genes on or off. This is the study of epigenetics. Genes can't operate independently of their environment, internal or external. Our nutrition, emotions, our social interactions all interact. For example, when you eat broccoli, broccoli contains a form of B6, which prompts a specific enzyme to produce the amino acid L-tryptophan, which contributes to synthesized dopamine. Dopamine is a neurotransmitter that, among other things, stabilizes mood. So to both Bonitas, eat your broccoli. Now, let's look finally at your true story. The residual outcome of your past thoughts, feelings, and actions are not who you are. What you have done with your body and eating may not be your true body self. Who you are is what you're creating this moment. Write your genuine life story, your informed wellness story. Write the truest story possible. I want to end with this story, a true story. A number of years ago, a small boy approached Walt Disney to ask, how can I be like you one day? And Disney took this very seriously. He thought for a moment and held up a finger to let the boy know he was thinking and about to respond. He finally said 4 words, think, believe, dream, dare. And remember the most important lesson from everything I've said during our time together over these 4 seminars. Just keep going to the next telephone pole. It's been a privilege to be here with you these 4 seminars. I've learned too, and I totally appreciate your input. I hope you have, that it's met your expectations. Thank you for your energy, your presence, your questions and comments. And I hope we'll have opportunities to cross paths and collaborate again. I'm going to put us on discussion mode. And if you'll manage the background noise, I'm eager to hear your responses, thoughts, and the things you'd like to talk about a bit more. And remember, we can go over the 10 or 15 minutes if you have questions and thoughts. What you got?
Good evening. This is Danny Bedoni. I wanted to know about the system. When you say know how to do it, for example, write or edit different time, what are we really talking about, the system? And it's important also in the simple coaching model. What is that
okay,
system?
Okay, tell me what system you have in mind when you say this system. I want to be sure I'm responding to exactly what you're saying.
Well, when we're coaching, one of the things that you said, you have to have the mindset, which is the focus, but you also have to have a system. Does that system change accordingly? Is it the same system for everything? What are we talking about when we say it?
Okay, let me clarify. I'm glad you said that. I'm talking about a co-created system with the client for specifically what that client wants to do. In other words, let's look at something I hear regularly with Coach the Coach at CTA is what somebody wants to focus on. I just need to get motivated to work out. I need to get motivated to eat better, to have, you know, a better diet. Well, we've discussed that before. You don't need motivation. If you're waiting for motivation, it's simply another reason to not do something. So the answer is to create a system. A system is a map. The simple coaching model is a system. You ask a question, what does the client want to focus on? They take ownership of that story. You ask a second question, where does the client want to get to? They craft an idea of where they want to end up, what they want to take away. So that's a map. The map tells you where you are, where you're going, how you can measure progress along the way, because you as a mentor coach are going to be in charge of that and optimally using that 15 minutes or that 45 or 50 minutes, because you're the guide. You're not just going to wait for somebody to do what they usually do in conversations like free associate or have a stream of consciousness. You're going to collaboratively decide and look together at creating a way to proceed. You're going to co-create a system with that client for this and other ways of pursuing what they want. So rather than focus on the goal, focus on the system. Create a system together. That simple coaching model is one system. Now, we've talked about a macro system, the roadmap. Now, this is not something that I've ever done with any client to look at co-creating that roadmap. This is something simply that informs me based on applying the mind and brain and performance sciences to strategic coaching about how to listen to a client's story and to see what they may need in co-creating an understanding and a revision of that story or a new story, to recognize that they're creating it. If, in other words, I hear that they're using passive language and it may seem as if the story is just happening to them, or if they have an attitude, well, there's nothing I can do, or that's just the way things are, that's where we began. So to recognize authorship, to own the story, and then to assess it, to decide what to change. And these are all steps in a system that are for us, the coach. These are not something you're going to get a client to fill out for you or respond to some questions. This is an organizer for us. Just like, remember we talked earlier, that the idea of using a metaphor of story is for our benefit as coaches, to help us. I want to ask for a mute of background noise. If you're not talking, please mute *6, because your microphone is picking up noise and movement that you're not hearing. So the story is an idea that we use to help us in ways of listening to and communicating with a client. Now, does that begin to address your question about what system means and how we're talking about that?
So that system is for us, our coaches, per se, and then we use that as our tool, as our compass?
Yes.
Perfect. Thank you.
Okay, you bet. Yeah, if you want to change something, focus on the system, co-create a system, with a client. So that client needs to know, for example, you know, they may have a goal, and that goal may be, yeah, to get something done by the next week when they meet with you at that standing time. But do they know what they're going to do next when they hang up the phone? Do they know what they're going to do this afternoon after lunch, the next day? Do they have a specific structured way of proceeding? Not just going to the next telephone pole, but knowing 3,339 miles from now where those telephone poles end, and that's the end of the race. So, and that's why the roadmap system is a macro system and not something we talk about directly with a client necessarily, but simply use it to inform our approach. Is a client really recognizing that they're creating, when they use passive language, those are all coachable moments. That's why I ask each client for permission to interrupt and give them permission to interrupt me, because if there's something at that moment that's not consistent with their taking, with their recognizing and owning their own story, that's where we start. The process is what's important. That's where we earn our money as coaches. Think about, you know, when somebody, you know, said, well, I just need to create a strategy and know what to do. You know, the content is easy. It's the process of when things get recreated in the relationship where the client shows you exactly what it's like to be that client. You have to have developed a working alliance to be able to get away with saying what you need to say in a collaborative model so that you can both look at that and see what's not working and look at what can work. You know, the definition of a blind spot is you can't see it. Of inattentional blindness is you don't pay attention to it. Of unconscious process, it's not conscious. So much of that operating system, that 90 to 95%, that's what we have to be aware of and recognize the algorithms that create those responses without ever, if any of you use the word algorithms with a client, I will deny that I ever collaborated with you. We want to talk in experience near language based on what the client is. When someone once asked, you know, how do you know what to say to a client? Well, a simple answer is you tell the client what he or she already knows and a little bit more. And that more may be a question, a challenge, a look at reframing, a look at self-regulation, just a little bit more. And remember, we earlier talked about state always comes first before strategy and story, so that you resonate empathically with someone's experience, so that you together are looking at taking the next step to create a strategy and a story that may be a new story or a revised story. So for others of you, how are you hearing this? Is this making sense? And what would be more helpful to talk about in this regard?
Hey there, this is Terry.
Please, go ahead.
I have a quick question. So I am doing the CTA course as well, and I'm wondering, like, how you would create your hub statement to put this into a niche, you know, to get across, to attract the people that you would want. Because I emailed you and I said, oh, this is all me right here. I love what we're talking about and all of that. But how do you create, like, how do you identify those clients that would appeal to this? Does that make sense?
It does. That's totally another matter and so beyond the scope of what we're doing. But I would think about first looking at your lowest hanging fruit, the people you already have relationships with, because these are going to be more likely to be your initial clients when you send your letter of announcement. And when you want to know what their primary challenge is, ask them. For the people you know, the best way you'll resonate. Let's do this. Each one of you draw a circle. Draw a circle on a single piece of paper. Inside that circle, put a stick figure. Now, that stick figure is your potential client. Now, in order for that client to listen to you, you're going to have to get inside that circle. Outside the circle, they're not going to listen to you. You don't get inside that circle by selling yourself, by talking about the things, by talking about... You get inside that circle by beginning a new story. Remember the first step in a new story? There are only three steps. The first step is the challenge, and then the development, and then the resolution. That's the whole coaching story right there. The challenge is, what is the primary challenge that that person or that group of people has or have that you're going to address? This is not about you, it's about them. How are you going to address that in professional coaching to help them get to a place they can't do or be themselves that they'll pay you for? So get to know the people who you want to work with. Get to know their ecosystems, where their watering holes are, so you'll know where to cross paths with them. Know their primary challenges so that you'll be able to address this. Does that begin to give you an answer?
It does. It does. I'm thinking, though, like, it seems like people who are looking for wellness, like, to me, this embodies the whole mind, body, spirit kind of thing. You know, like, people, like, just want better,
May I interrupt you for a second?
Yeah.
Have you ever heard someone say, I'm looking for wellness?
No, that's just it. I mean, that's what this is focused on, but I want to know what they're, like, how would someone say, like, I don't know what people say for that.
Well, then that's exactly what I'm responding to, because wellness is a concept. Nobody looks for wellness. Nobody wants to change, first of all. Nobody wants to change, including me. I want everybody else to change. So the first question you'll have to ask is, what is your primary challenge? And then it may well be, that's exactly what I do as a professional coach. And then you look at offering a sample session to give an illustration of how that might work together in coaching.
That makes sense. Okay.
You're not gonna sell anybody anything. First of all, period. You're not going to sell your coaching services by information or facts or data. Information is not sold a single widget or a single coaching service. Remember when I said when we give information, somebody's gonna listen to it with their belief in mind. If it fits their belief, they're going to find ways to validate it. If it doesn't fit with their belief, they're going to find ways to invalidate it or ignore it. I mean, do you think, if you're a Republican, do you think by a two-minute discussion I'm going to make you a Democrat with all the information I can provide, or vice versa? Information does not change. You're not selling anything. Think about the analogy of any other professional. You go to a doc, a dentist, an attorney, you have a brief discussion, and then the discussion is about what's your challenge, what's your problem by the professional. And then if the professional believes that their services would make the most of it, they make a recommendation. They don't begin by talking about what it's like to be an attorney or a doctor or a financial. They ask, what's your primary challenge? What are you coming in? What's your problem? If somebody stops you, let's go into the distant future where you're at a cocktail party again. Somebody says, what do you do? Well, one way to answer that is, what's the primary challenge you're having in your life or your business right now? And surprise is one way we engage people. They may tell you, that's exactly what I do. I'm a professional coach, and I help practicing professionals achieve and sustain peak performance.
That makes sense. That makes sense. That's very good. Yeah, because it's my belief that I feel like everybody needs, like, everybody has a story, and everybody is believing something that they probably, you know what I'm saying? So I feel
everybody needs to work out 6 days a week.
Yeah, I feel like everybody
Henry Lodge Jr., who wrote Younger Next Year, said that is essential to work out 6 days a week. Remember the illustrations I gave about how many people knowing, even scared, and life-threatened will follow recommendations based on information? Very few.
Right.
So other thoughts and applications. We still have maybe 2 or 3 or 4 minutes. Other things that might be helpful for you just in discussion that you're not clear about or that we haven't covered.
Yeah, hi, this is Jaden.
Hey, go ahead.
Hi, so this is less of a question and more of a comment for you, and just something that I think has resonated with me the most throughout this whole program was one of the first stories you told with the elephant and the rope. I think about it almost every day since we started. It's just something that has really impacted me, and I'm excited to use it to help people kind of realize that, you know, the past is the past, and coaching is a lot more present and future focused.
Super. Thank you for sharing that. Let me also ask, I would invite any of you in one sentence to say what the most important thing is that you're taking away from this seminar sentence in one this seminar series in one sentence. Who would volunteer to offer that? I'm interested in as many as would like to respond. The most
Danny
important
Bidoni?
Thing. Go ahead.
The most important thing that I come up from this 4 classes of coaching is that it has brought me to the realization that, one, everybody does need a coach, so I have to focus on that and believe in that, and not just that I'm selling something. And that is the secret of this phrase. Knowing that the most important thing is that your belief system can change if you want it. Thank you.
Okay. Great. Thank you. I appreciate that. Who else?
Yeah, this is Jaden again. I think for me it's remembering that the client is the one who identifies their own problem. They have the answers, not me. My job is to listen. I think that's something that I can hear over and over again, and it still won't be enough.
Okay. And that's important to remember when you're talking about you and your services. It's not about you. It's about the client. And focus immediately on the client, what they need, and what they want to do collaboratively with you. So, great. Thank you. What else? Who else? Any other takeaways? Anyone? Well, we are out of time. Thank you very, very much. I appreciate it. I'll be eager to hear what you think. If you have other questions, shoot me an email. I'll send you an announcement, as I mentioned, within just a couple of days to offer come at the once a year cohort that I do for wellness coaches. Thank you so much,
And this class is recorded.
Yes. It'll be posted within a day and be up for about 30 days. It's been a privilege to work with you, and thank you so much for all of your input and exchange. I value that very, very much. I'll be eager to hear what you guys are up to. Bye now. Thanks.
Thank you, Dr. Dave. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
See you guys.
Thank you.